This is CliffCentral.com.
If you are familiar with FIFA on any level whatsoever, if you're a FIFA aficionado, yeah, we are intellectuals this morning, man. If you've ever played FIFA, you know the song in the background. That is Jungle coming through with Busy Earning. A lot of people seem to think the name of the song is Can't Get Enough.
Why was it not Can't Get Enough? That makes sense. I don't like that when that
happens. When the title of the song doesn't really match with what's being said or the lyrics. It's something off.
Why? I think that's cool, though. I mean, everyone else just goes straight forward. Like, if you're going to, you know, I love you, baby. And then you call the song, I love you, baby. It's like...
For me, it should be the word that repeats the most or the words that repeat the most within the song.
I don't... It also depends on what the song is about. Like,
So we're going to go into deeper meaning of what the song is about. Like,
no,
what's not actually there.
They keep repeating, can't get enough. That's the term. Yeah, but at the end of it, like, it loops around maybe twice, mm-hmm. and at the end they say, too busy earning, which is, you know, when you listen to the lyrics of the song, not just the chorus, you understand why the song's title is Busy Earning.
So you're being forced to actually take in the song and then...
Exactly. I think...
Appreciate it.
That should be... I can't believe I'm going to have to say this out loud, but that should be the rule. Like, people should listen to the lyrics of your songs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
No, that's fair enough.
We were actually talking outside while G-Man was still on air about this Babe Zodumo situation.
Man.
Like, after one song.
Man.
All of this praise.
And they're going to say it's shade or that we're hating or we're not appreciating because we're not within the same line of conversation or agreement with what is being said. But after one song, you're making such large comparisons.
It's deep, man. I mean, Lebo Mathosa is a South African gem. And I'm not just saying this because she passed on, but I mean, consider the amount of work she put in, you know, all the controversy. I mean, the conversations she gave us over the years. And Babe Zodumo releases one song and already.
Social media is a sin.
I don't think so.
It's ugly. It's those people on there
I actually
that
think,
are doing this.
No, I think social media has helped a lot. Like, consider the fact that, like, a meme can come out of the US and people in Africa can understand exactly what's going on, see the humor behind that.
Yeah, but there are collective morons on
true,
on
but I
like
mean...
Like, large groups of collective morons.
And now they can connect.
Yeah, okay.
It's the beauty of the internet.
Right? Let's leave that alone. Let's get into this conversation today. This should have been the suit up edition, actually.
It should
really
have been. It should have been. Firstly, for those that saw the picture from last week, I would like to apologize.
Did you get hate? Did you get hate mail?
Not a lot of hate mail, just a lot of
Does
dumb questions.
Yeah.
No, I got a lot of stupid
How, Jack?
Questions.
Why didn't you say we must buy you a suit so you can be like other kids?
Yeah, yeah. I've actually got a suit that I got for my uncle's wedding.
You have one suit.
Just one. I mean, I'm not a suit kind of guy.
Yeah,
like,
no, that's true.
That's just, it's just the way it is, right? So I got one suit and I got it from Tiger of Sweden. So every time I put it on, people are like, oh my God, you look so dope. You should put it on all the time. I'm like, then it wouldn't be special. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway, we're joined by two, you know, young intellectuals in the studio. You know what I mean? These are 20-somethings that are, you know, essentially changing the way people do things.
Sigukatin.
No, don't sing that song
Sigukatin.
In my presence. No, okay. So I'm sorry. That is the, one of the dumbest songs.
No, I remixed it. I put Katin in there because, like, you know.
Yeah, but still. Okay, no, not Ricky Rick. That's not how you introduce people, I'm sorry. No shade. Anyway, we're joined in the studio today by Stello Makatini as well as Eugene the Cock. How are you doing?
Not Jackie the cock, the beer.
The beer? Oh,
yeah.
We were talking
the
about.
The cock came in while we were talking about
I'm
the
sorry,
beer.
I'm sorry. I am so sorry, Eugene. That is my bad. Let me start that again. We are joined in the studio today by Stello Makatini as well as Eugene the beer.
There we go.
Yeah, I like beer better than cock anyway. How are you guys doing?
Jack, how's it going?
I'm chilled, buddy, man. You know, like, this is the type of people you're hanging around with today, just so you know. How you guys doing?
No, man, we're good, eh? Thanks a lot for having us, man.
Thanks for having us, and thanks for listeners tuning in today.
Sweet, sweet man.
And I accept your apology.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Like, I feel like this show would have gone completely down south if you didn't. But I can tell you're a cool guy. You're a cool guy.
They are very, very welcoming gentlemen.
They are.
The level of intellectualism that they have and qualifications that they have. I mean, chartered accountants, co-founders of Linked Pro.
Yep.
Which is incredible, an incredible service. I saw disrupting the SA, the African work marketplace.
Yep.
That word disrupting, I'm like, okay, we'll see. But it's incredible that they should be here joining us today. And I'm excited to actually get into what it is they do to fully understand. Because sometimes you see things on paper and you're like, oh, okay. Mm. I read it, but like I don't really get what's going on. So we'll get into the final details of what it is they actually do. But Stella Makatin, during the era of that lunch bar advert, I have to bring
not
it up.
Going there.
Let's go there. Bring it up. Let's. Can we please just go there?
Before we talk about what I have to bring, it's out there now. Did you ever get slack for that? For you know,
I get it every day.
Yeah. Really? Now because
it's every day, dude. It happens every day. Trust me.
But it was a cool moment.
Like, no, it was a nice ad. Nice ad. And back then, I used to love chocolate. You know.
Oh, okay.
Such a very sweet tooth. You know, I used to love chocolate, and I mean, for me, it was a nice ad.
And so wait. You used to have a sweet tooth, and then you did the ad, and then you realized, okay, this is not
for me.
this is it. Okay. Obvious.
Yeah.
Obvious.
I mean, hey, hello.
Oh, come on. Most probably they gave you a sponsorship. Lunch bar. Holy Baba.
Were you called lunch bar or like, people just recreating the advert every time they saw you?
There was a wide range. I mean, it went from lunch bar man, McIntyre, Scottish, the works. Eh?
Yeah.
You know, so I've heard it all. Eh? I've heard it all.
Eugene, you also have a very interesting nickname.
Do I?
Yeah. I mean, you were saying you were. What were you called?
I wasn't called anything.
He doesn't want to expose himself.
I didn't have TV adverts like Stella had. Yeah.
Sure, you didn't have a TV advert, but everyone has a nickname. Let's hear. I mean, for 4 years, I was short shit in school. So.
Okay, so it is.
He's very nervous about telling this particular story.
Eugene, not the naughty one. When A.
Okay, I'll keep it clean.
Go dirty if it feels better. I'm just saying, you know, go crazy.
No, they called me. Oh, there was one particular person who called me Eugene Dera. Okay, we shall not mention like where that came from.
You know, not to get you off your high horse or anything, but you know, it's fine.
It's like, why Terror? Because I mean, he's not even that terrifying of a guy.
Yeah, he's actually pretty chill.
Yeah.
No, I think the reason I mentioned high horses and stuff. I mean, you know, Eugene Dera. Blanche, you know what I'm saying?
I see where you're going.
There
Jake.
We go. There we go. Use it, don't lose it. Use it, don't lose it. I feel like we needed a dudumch in the background. That would have been so perfect.
Drum roll.
Now, one of the first things that's very noticeable about the pair of you is your attire, which you say. I mean, obviously, being in the field that you're in, or being in the workplace that you're in, you have to dress a certain way. You know, what's your take on sort of what the professional look is, looking at controversies or at the controversy that happened earlier on this week? You know, hair having to be a certain way, girls having to be portrayed a particular way that they're not comfortable with. So in terms of what the professional look is, I understand in your industry, I mean, suits, you know, a very necessary thing.
I mean, would you let some dude in a t-shirt go over your books? Man,
but what's your take on what the professional look is? Well, personally speaking,
okay. So in my opinion, the way we dress is, I wouldn't say it's because we want to show off or anything, but we do it out of professional courtesy to our clients, the people we serve, and the kind of service that we are providing. And as Jack said, you wouldn't necessarily want someone in a t-shirt to go over your books.
Yeah.
But you'd much rather have someone in an overall to look at your car.
There we go.
A guy in a suit, for instance. So if you want to add on that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was talking to someone yesterday, and then I told them that listen, dressing well is a form of mannerism, you know, and sometimes you just have to look the part, you know. As much as we come from very regulated institutions, very formalized institutions, corporatized institutions, it doesn't have to stop there, you know. Dressing well, the appearance is very important. And in an industry such as ours, if we take it a step back to LinkPro, you know, ours is about obviously attracting top tier consultants. You know, we work with people who are extremely professional, people with extent of experience. So yeah, it's important to look the part, you know. And then just on the conversation about with the rhetorical tie story. There has to be a level of acceptance, you know, for where each individual comes from, you know, in corporate as well. We found that guys with dreadlocks, for instance, you know,
yeah.
as much as you dress a tiger of Sweden suit,
yeah,
you know, but if you've got dreadlocks, it's a bit of an issue, you know. And some guys where I come from, where I trained or qualified rather as a CA, you know, we're told that dreadlocks were not allowed. So some guys were actually forced, you know, to cut their dreadlocks.
You know, it begs the question then, like, what should, you know, your look, as you said, it is a form of a mannerism, you know what I mean? But I mean, it doesn't truly reflect what you're capable of. You get what I'm saying? Like, I feel like your dreadlocks should not stop you from being a CA or an attorney or any of those things. You get what I mean?
Very, very true. And they don't diminish or reduce your intellectual capacity in any way.
For sure.
You know, so as much as you might have those dreadlocks, you might find that, you know, I'm the best performing trainee accountant, for instance, you know, with my dreadlocks because of where I come from, and I respect where I come from. And sometimes I just have to maintain it. As long as I maintain them and they look good, you know, it shouldn't then be used as a basis on which I'm judged, you know, from an intellectual capacity perspective. You know, I shouldn't just be judged on that. You know, there's more that I can offer. You just need to look beyond the fact that I've got dreadlocks, or you just need to look beyond the fact that I'm dressed in a suit that I bought from Woolworths. Because truth be told, and I do confess, I used to buy a suit from Woolworths when I was still a trainee accountant. You know, there's obviously many ways to slice and dice it.
Yeah, for sure.
But there needs to be a general level of acceptance, though.
True. Let's get into you know you mentioned where you come from a bunch of times. Let's find out, like, your guys' backstories. Where do you guys come from? Where did you go to school? You know, the let's fill in, you know, the ad lunch bar in the middle there somewhere. You know, let's go back to where the story began for you two gentlemen.
Okay, so I'm from a very small place out in the Eastern Cape. It's a place called Madros. If you Google Maps it, you probably take some time to find it. I grew up there all my life, and then I moved up to Pretoria to study there. Did a computer science degree there. And then I started working in corporate South Africa. And from there on out, I think it was one fateful Sunday where Stella over here tried his luck at golf, and that's how we met. And I guess from there on out, it was a kind of a symbiotic relationship, because we started learning a lot from each other. I was coaching him.
Yes, you were, actually.
And yeah, then we started talking about ideas and how we can execute them best.
For sure. Stella?
I'm from KZN. Apologies. I'd just like to apologize in advance. The place where I come from is not yet on Google Maps, so you won't find it.
So I've got one up on you there.
I don't think that's something you should be apologizing for.
Do you guys have street view out there?
Here come the jokes.
Don't here take you it go. There. Yeah, so I'm from a little place called Kwamdekazi. It's close to Kwandengezi.
Mm-hmm.
Most people will know where Kwandengezi is because of Pearl Tusi and the other, you know, and the other.
Oh, slabs. So that's where Pearl is from.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay.
So they make them like that. Okay.
But I'm not from there. Okay. I'm from a little place called Kwamdekazi. That's where I was born and bred. And then I went to high school at Markland Secondary School. I've always had a passion for business. I started my business when I was in grade 9 when I started my business, and I started my business with 80 rands. You know, yes, I started my business with 80 rand, and the first sale I made, I think I made about 12.50, you know, from a first sale. So I ran that business.
What were you selling? Wait.
It was a micro lending business.
Oh, okay.
That's exactly what
Machonis.
It was.
Ow.
Exactly. Yeah. So I ran the business up until my honors year, where I completed my honors at UKZN, and then I came to Johannesburg to do my articles at PwC, the best professional services firm in the world. That's where I was for about 3 years. That's where I did my articles, and then afterwards I then went to into investment banking, and then investment banking I met Eugene, and then I told him about my crazy ideas, you know, most of which he just he deleted, you know, he completely disregarded most of them until I really had to, you know, just to prepare myself and like, I need to sell this vision to Eugene, you need to see it. So I stood in front of the mirror. I'm like, okay, let me pretend as if I'm talking to Eugene now. I need to sell this idea. I need to convince Eugene. Once I convince Eugene, and then the rest will be history. And then I did that, and then the rest, I guess, is history.
Among the similarities that I hear that's embedded within your stories is you seem to have found your journey early on, found your passion, and sort of just ran with it until you're here now. How important a factor is that in sort of knowing where what you need to do and what you're going to do, discovering your love or passion early on? Because I mean, it seems very easy the way it is. You talk about what you do, because you've carried it for such a long time, and you've never sort of shied away from doing it.
Well, in my opinion, like, so where I grew up, it's really in terms of like where you're gonna end up in life. There's not much to look forward to. And I've always been a strong believer that your circumstances does not necessarily define who you are or what you're capable of or what you're going to achieve in life. And even though I didn't mention it, I also had a business in high school, which wasn't the best, but it taught me that if you put your mind to something and you execute your vision, that you would be able to achieve whatever it is you wanted to achieve. And my lifelong vision has always been to have my own company. And I've always also, so there's a few things that like you discover along the way, is that you have to be stubborn about your long-term vision, about what you want, but you have to be flexible about the detail. Because when I started my little business in high school, I thought that was going to be like, you know, it's going to be in my obituary. But today I found myself here with Stelo, whom I never thought I would have met. You know, like, you know, when you're in high school, you don't think like, oh, one day into the future, I'm going to meet this guy and we're going to start a company together and we're going to do great things. But we learn as we go and we push ourselves, because I believe the only way that you're going to better yourself is to, one, surround yourself with amazing people, and the other is to do your best to learn as much from them and to execute and bring whatever you have to the table.
What are some of the difficulties that you guys came across? I mean, it's clear that you've had the business mind from a very young age. As you just mentioned, that, you know, it's always been a goal of yours to own your own company. What were some of the obstacles that you think, you know, could have made you change your mind a little and think, you know what, I'm just going to find a job and let it go?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's always hard to make that initial decision to decide that I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
To fill out the paperwork and to actually submit it. And you get your papers back and stuff. It says, okay, you've got a company. You, sir, are now the director or the CEO of some company that you started. And I think, like, the most challenging part was to get to that point where you actually, you make that leap and you take that jump.
Yeah, just to add, on what Eugene's saying, just taking that giant leap. There was a campaign, I think it was sometime last year, where they ran a campaign about what would you do if you were not scared? You know? As Eugene was saying, you need to be very stubborn in terms of what you want to achieve in life. And you need to have the discipline as well, you know? You need to have the discipline. You need to put in the hard work, you know? You need to definitely put in the hard work and realize that, you know, the advantage that the older guys, you know, the guys that have made it, you know, the guys with money, the guys who are dollar millionaires, the guys, you know, those guys, they've made it, you know? But those guys have made it doing things that you would have thought about, you know, and they've already done that. You know, if we're talking about retail, that people with exceptional experience in retail, the people with exceptional experience in pharmaceuticals. So you can't then, as a young person growing up, you know, try to then compete with those people and do the same thing, because the unfortunate thing that you'll come across is that you're going to be presenting your product, and then people are going to be saying, but there's already someone doing it. You know, we've got a supply already, you know. So the advantage that we have as young people is technology.
Yeah.
That's the biggest advantage that we have, you know. And the older guys cannot compete with us when it comes to technology, because they will take time to actually adapt, you know. So that's the best and greatest advantage that we have as young people, to start disruptive businesses, which is exactly what we're doing at LinkPro, you know. And then what you'll find is that in response to that, the older generation, the guys with money, they'll then come to us and say that, listen, we like your idea, come on board. And then they corporatize you, and then that startup culture dies completely, and then it's over. You know, but we're young, we're very energetic, we're agile, you know, we execute fast, and then we've got that advantage of technology as well, which the other guys will never catch up to.
They might have the advantage of having established themselves and having the money, but we've got the advantage of, you know, still learning this new world, man, this new way forward of doing business, even, because the way they did business isn't the same as it is right now. It scares me looking at things that already exist in this world, in terms of what am I going to create, you know? I can't start a radio station. I mean, that's already out there. You can, but I mean, it's not...
It's nothing new.
Nothing new. It's like, what are you going to do? What are you going to introduce to the world, even if it's in a different way?
Yeah, exactly. I just went through a report last week, and there was a presentation that I attended. I went through a report, very, very fascinating report. They were talking about millennials, you know, us. I mean, young guys, and that the darling of any conversation, of any business conversation right now, is disruption or millennials, you know. And millennials, the definition of millennials is anyone actually below the ages of 35. And if you look at the continent itself, you know, we've got the youngest population, you know. It's well documented. So now you'll understand, if that's the prevailing situation in the continent, you then have to position yourself as a business, you know, to make sure that you address those millennials, you know.
Yeah.
Guys now, they don't want to go to corporate in suit and tie. That's changing. We want to rock t-shirts, you know.
Yeah.
We
want to rock t-shirts. Sure. We want to rock all day.
we want to rock sneakers, you know. I want to be sitting at my desk and with my headphones on, maybe playing Babes or Doom. You know, you just never know. It motivates me. You'll just never know, you know. So the millennials want things differently, and as corporates, we need to make sure that, you know, you address that need. You know, because the world is moving in a very different direction. The world has changed. Mm-hmm. That's what people need to understand. You know, and technology will actually help us get there.
Old people are very stubborn, man. Convincing them of new ideas and showing them it's what they need, and that it's the best way. It's a new direction, yes, but it's the best way forward in terms of what's going on right now. They can be very difficult to move and sort of change their mind because of what, you know, how they've lived and what they used to.
I mean, when you look at the development of technology, things change much quicker now than they did before. So if you miss the first step, you're about five steps behind when you decide to finally jump on. You know what I mean? Like, imagine someone trying to get onto Twitter right now. Like, you are there with your proposal and you're telling these people, this is how we're going to make money through Twitter, and they don't have Twitter accounts. You know, when it comes to, as Neo was saying, you know, older individuals and their stubbornness to change, what could millennials possibly be doing better or differently in order to, you know, bring about that change a lot quicker? How do we get these older, rich men, because it's a lot of them, you know, how do we get them to change their minds about how business is done? And, you know, how do we get that momentum moving forward?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I mean, it's very simple. We definitely need to challenge the status quo.
Yeah.
And we need to be very unapologetic about that. But at the same time, we need to be very diplomatic. You know, we need to do it with a level of diplomacy. In challenging the status quo, I think what we should flag out is the fact that things can be done, and they can be done cost effectively, you know, and they can be done quicker. As long as you introduce convenience in anything that you do, you know, you will go very far. The word disruption in itself is not, I mean, it's not entirely true. I mean, you'll hear a lot of businesses say, we're disrupting. But what they're really providing is convenience, you know, and serving customers better. It's in that inherent understanding of what the consumer wants. So if the millennials then demand a certain service or level of service, they'll then demand that, and a company that is better able to respond to that will do very well. Because Uber is doing what the market wasn't doing.
Yeah.
You know, so they're basically servicing a segment of the market that wasn't well serviced. It's not, I mean, it's not that they came with disruptive technology. No, it's not that. But what they really came up with is a better way of servicing people. They saw a gap and they were like, okay, cool, it's fine. This is how we're going to service this market. So as millennials, we need to be demanding. We need to be very vocal so that people are then responsive to what we want as millennials. Mm-hmm. You know, and then if people are responsive to what we want as millennials, they will then be a little bit more accommodating to our solutions that we bring forward to the table.
For sure, man. At this point, I think we're going to take a bit of a breather. On the flip side of this, though, we're finally going to get into what you guys put together. You've mentioned Link Pro a couple of times. I know a lot of people have heard it already. I think on the flip side of this, we are going to get into what Link Pro is all about and why you guys are here, man. But so far, so good. Man, these guys have been, you know, it's education. You know, I feel like it's an edumacation right now. I was so stupid a couple of seconds ago, but I feel smarter. Can you imagine in 30 minutes?
Edutainment.
It's edutainment. You see? I didn't even have a word for it. I was busy saying edutainment. Edutainment. There you go. Really dope track. That is Kygo coming through with Stole the Show featuring Mr. Pawson James. Really cool. Have you seen the music video for this track? So dope.
It's one of those artistic ones.
Yeah. It's people that, you know, are disruptors.
They exactly, man.
There you go.
We are so afraid in this country, and especially on this continent.
Yeah.
Well, on this continent, but especially in this country, to be disruptive.
Yeah.
It's like we want to keep quiet and be nice about our approach, which
doesn't really work. It doesn't bring about change. Yep. That's the problem, man. Listen, if you want to be part of the conversation, please, please, please do give us a call on 0861-555-189 on Twitter at CliffCentral.com, at VanGiven, at Jack_5'4", Facebook Cliff Central, WeChat ID Cliff Central. And if you're listening to us on WeChat, you can to send a message on WeChat, sorry, tap connect, then message to show. Right. Got that out of the way. Cool. So, gents, you guys have been mentioning Link Pro. I want us to get into what Link Pro is. And basically, by the time we leave the studio, everyone should know what the hell is up with Link Pro. Let's start with the name, because it sounds similar
absolutely
to LinkedIn. How did this happen?
and don't lie to the people.
Don't, please, please don't lie.
Okay, I'll take that one. That's fine. Yeah, so Link Pro is, it's the name is very simple, actually. And the reason why we chose Link Pro is precisely because we are linking professionals. Okay. Simple as that.
Ah.
You know, but it's Link Bing. Pro without the E.
With the, okay. Without but the you must e. still spell it because some of yeah. us are like, where's the E again?
The E is missing, hey? It's doing its rounds. Yeah, man, that's a yeah, so that's the background behind the name. We are simply linking professionals. And then just to go through it briefly, Link Pro is South Africa's first on-demand skills platform, which connects highly independent consultants from top-tier consulting firms to clients who are looking for specialized expertise on a project basis or for short-term projects. Simple as that.
All right. So you're talking about putting two groups of people together in contact with one another. All right. Let's just say Neo, is, as he's seated here, has a project maybe for 3 weeks or so. How does he go about getting in contact with you? Does he, you know, email you guys? How easy is it to, you know, make use of your service?
Okay, it's one of two. So it's either you visit our platform, right, and then you register and become a client. It takes about less than 5 minutes to actually do so. You know, two. It takes you less than 2 minutes to actually become a client, and then afterwards we'll definitely give you a call to understand your requirements. And once we've understood your requirements, you will then post your project. We'll help you through the process as well, and to post your project, your 3 week project. And then afterwards, what we do is that, and where the magic happens, is that after you've posted your project, you post your project through a very secure dashboard. So it's not like you go onto our platform and then you just post your project for everyone to see.
Mm.
Once you've posted your project, you post your project through a very secure dashboard and no one sees that. We respect sensitive information. And once that's done, we then use sophisticated algorithms to actually match your project requirements with the database of our consultants. And our turnaround time is 48 hours. So you will get someone in 48 hours to work on your project. And you'll get someone who's precisely matched to your project requirements. You know, so it's quick turnaround time. And you also tend to find better quality on our platform.
Now, you said that it's SA's first. And I suppose also Africa's first. Why is there... a need for this type of service on the continent or in this country? Why create Linked Pro?
Well, based on the research that we've done, nothing like this exists in South Africa, let alone the African continent. The reason why we went about to build this was because the current processes, when you look at like when big corporates are looking for someone to come and do project-specific work and they need someone very specialized to come in and do the work for them, that's normally a very tedious, a long process, and it's rather inefficient as well. And we thought that because we are young, we millennials, we know how technology works, we would build a service that is not just cheaper, it's not just more efficient, it's highly secure, we respect confidentiality. With all of that taken into consideration, we started developing this platform where we would then go about and make this process as simple and as pain-free as possible. So from signing up as a client or a consultant, it's literally about 2 to 3 clicks and you'd be on our platform.
Are there, because I mean you're linking two separate groups, clients and I suppose those looking for work, freelancers, as you have it.
100%.
Would there then be a fee involved in using your service at either end, that is, either for the client or for the freelancer?
Okay. So So what we do really is a fusion of three things. One is consulting. Two, it's IT, and then three is recruitment. So at the very core of what we're doing is actually recruitment. And then you'll then understand if I say that there's a recruitment involved, there's also a fee that's also involved, which is termed a commission. So we charge a commission, but we don't charge the consultant. The consultant comes on board, it's for free, you've got nothing to lose, but you've got everything to gain. You come on board, you register, you become a consultant, and you basically sit and wait. Mm. You know, it's almost like a story of like hurry up and wait. So then once you've registered, it's either you get matched to a project automatically, right? Using computer technology that we have, or you can put your name forward and apply for a project that you find exciting, you know. But to answer your question, we actually charge the client, not the consultant, because you'll find that it's usually clients who are looking for specialized expertise, and they need that very, very fast.
Yeah,
you know. So because we're offering a client a service, we then charge the client a commission.
So you know who should be looking for Linked Pro, like outside of you know the clients. Those that are freelancers and consultants, what type of consultant are you looking for? Is there a specific group, or is it if you're a consultant, come through?
So we look for people who are exceptionally experienced. We look for people from top tier consulting firms, you know. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to mention them by name, but if you are a consultant, you will know, you'll definitely know which are the top tier consulting firms, you know. So we look for people with prior experience from a top tier consulting firm. We look for people who possess an MBA, you know, or a similar postgraduate degree.
Yeah.
And we look for people who are exceptionally experienced in a particular industry, be it mining, pharmaceuticals, banking, and so forth. And we also look with people with a proven track record of having led and delivered a project independently.
Yeah.
And then we also like to look at people with international experience. We like international experience for one simple reason. People with international experience have often diverse experiences, and they also have a very global network. Doesn't mean to say that if you haven't worked abroad, you don't have a diverse you don't have diverse work experience or a network. But we tend to prefer people with international experience.
And just to add on top of that, we're definitely not a platform for people who are looking to become independent consultants. Like, just like, okay, you wake up tomorrow morning and decide that this is something that you'd want to do. We are looking for people who's been doing this for a while. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of quality and the value that we want to give to our clients. Because what we are not trying to do is to be everything to everyone.
Yeah.
But we would love to be everything to our clients and the consultants that we trying to service.
Look, yeah. as a person that, you know, knows very little about consulting, are there any specific trends that you guys have noticed? As you're saying, you know, you guys cater for those people that have your MBAs or your postgraduate degrees and stuff. Are there any things that you've spotted since you started Linked Pro that, you know, Linked Pro now solves the solution for such and such a thing?
Linked Pro was basically born out of the frustration that companies have when it comes to sourcing specialized people fast. So we then responded to that need from a client perspective, but also we saw a trend where a lot of people were leaving the consulting roles, you know, from big consulting firms. They were leaving those roles and wanted to work independently. They wanted to work independently because they wanted better flexibility. Because consulting is it's a very tough job.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you'll...
I'm going to have to take your word for that.
consulting is a very tough job. It's demanding. You know, so a lot of people then say that, okay, well, I'm at that stage of my life. I don't want this. I don't want to do this anymore. I just want to be independent. I want the flexibility. I want the financial reward as well, you know, of working independently, where I see a positive correlation between the effort that that I put in and the reward at the end of the day. So a lot of people we then saw a trend, and we researched a trend where people are leaving big consulting firms mm-hmm. to actually start their own thing, you know. And but then the practical challenge was that the market is so fragmented, that it becomes increasingly difficult for corporates to actually find these people, because the market is so fragmented. So what we've done is that we've created a sample, a very central depository.
Yeah.
You know, from which you as a corporate will then be able to access these skills. And that is exactly what LinkPro is about. You know, so it's an aggregation and consolidation of a very, very fragmented market of independent consultants out there.
Really dope, man.
Through the grace of technology and television, have you seen back in the day, way like ages ago even, they used to have consultants. I don't know what they did, but they used to have consultants on TV shows. So I don't know what exactly they were consulting on. I see it on the credits. I don't know what they did.
It's like,
consultant was Jack, just another cool kid on this particular show, which is weird for me. But yeah, so there are consultants in many forms, I suppose. In terms of, you know, how has the business been since, you know, you've began this journey? How has it been received, I suppose, by those it is that you are serving?
The reception out there has been very, very warm. It's been overwhelming, actually. We launched about 4 months ago, and I think we are now about to reach 100 consultants on our database and growing very, very fast, you know, because people are excited about the idea. They know that it's the first of its kind in SA and on African continent as well. People are excited about the idea. They understand the value proposition from a client perspective. They also understand the value proposition from a consultant's perspective. So the consultants are coming on board, and we had a two-phased launch, where the first 3 months we basically focused on getting the right people, you know. So first few months we're getting consultants, you know, and it's been amazing. And the reason why I'm saying it's been overwhelming is that we received a lot of positive feedback from consultants who do understand the value of what we're doing. And then they also appreciate the effort, the level of effort that we're putting in. So they're coming on board, but what was really exciting for us was to see people coming on board excited about the idea when we didn't have projects.
Ah, okay.
You know, so that was just a validation, you know, that you're solving such a huge problem in the market. You know, and then our second stage of our phased in launch, we started focusing now on clients, you know, because it's often difficult to stand in front of a client and say that I can do this for you. I can bring a specialist, let's say, for instance, in pharmaceutical or mining, or I can bring a strategy consultant if you don't have those people.
Yeah.
So it's always easier to then approach clients on the strength of what you have on your database, which is exceptional quality. The type of consultant that we have, it's just, I mean, it's amazing. It's truly amazing. And we really appreciate it. I mean, and if there's anyone who's listening who signed up on LinkPro, we really appreciate the support. So now we're getting clients, and clients are saying that, okay, well, fine, you guys do have this amazing database. You guys do have this amazing depository of highly skilled consultants. Give us someone for next week. We're actually sitting now with a project that requires someone like yesterday, not just one, but three projects, you know, three projects.
Yeah.
And they require someone like yesterday. And that was a direct expression from the client, that the urgency of the request cannot be expressed further.
That's pretty dope, man. You know, besides, you know, coming to radio shows and that kind of thing, how are you guys getting the word out there about LinkPro? I mean, you know, LinkedIn, LinkPro, might confuse a couple of people. So how are you going to make sure that it stands alone? That way people don't get it confused.
That's a very good question, and it's something that we've spent a lot of time working on. In terms of how we position ourselves, we are on like social media platforms, and like your question was that how do we make sure that people don't confuse it with LinkedIn? We are Linked Pro, and that is how we position ourselves. Our colors are very bright. It's like a bright orange. It's very crisp, and that's how we differentiate ourselves from LinkedIn, which is like blue and slate black, I believe.
And the confusion can only be in the name, not in what we do.
Yeah. Okay.
Because what we do is very, 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 very different from what LinkedIn is doing.
Yeah.
You know,
LinkedIn is like Facebook for people with jobs. people that are looking for jobs or people with jobs. That's what LinkedIn looks like to me.
I mean, exactly it. Without obviously taking anything away from LinkedIn, but
yeah,
it's basically just a parade of your CV.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
I love that word.
That's deep.
That's a term.
You know?
It's a parade.
Hi. Woo! I'm over here.
Balloons.
But it's the most silent parade I've ever heard in my life.
So yeah, so that's LinkedIn. They're a lot more social than we are. We are a marketplace, and they do the social, or the professional social network, I guess.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Yeah. We're not a social network. Far from it.
Yeah.
Very you know, we respect confidential information. We treat confidential information very, very, very confidential.
Yeah. Well, you can't get more confidential than confidential.
Between the pair of you, you are a startup that's always starting. And I mean that in the sense that you've got ideas that are already working and creating new ones. For entrepreneurs out there that are starting up and going to face challenges that they're going to in terms of this ever-changing complex business marketplace, what would you say to sort of just encourage them, or what can they take from what you've said that they should carry with them in terms of believing or keeping their business running?
Well, first of all, the best advice I could give: don't wait too long. If you're building an app, if you're building a website, or if you're building whatever, or you're coming up with a new cleaning detergent, do it as quickly as you can. If you can get it out within a month, get it out. If you can get it out in a week, get it out. As soon as some people start using what you've built, the sooner they start interacting, the quicker you're going to get feedback, and then you can build on top of that. Don't try and build or create a silver bullet to the problem that you've obviously identified as a startup founder, but just build something that you believe would have the bare minimums for you to solve the certain problem that you're targeting. So don't wait too long. And in order to keep your business going is to, if you go to bed, let's say at 10 or 11, you're sleeping too early. This is something that you should be doing all the time. You should be thinking about it all the time. You should literally be like, with us, we're building a technology platform. We literally eat, sleep, and breathe this whole platform, and we sit at our desks 24/7 practically, like executing it and improving on it. You know, learning from the people that's using our platform and incorporating those insights into our product roadmap and what we want to achieve.
Very important. Yeah, it's a very important point that you touched on, Eugene. MVP, minimal viable product. If you've got an idea, just make sure that you go to market as quickly as possible to get quick market validation.
Mm-hmm. Hi.
Yeah, because one thing you don't want is to spend like 12 months of your life building this amazing app. It's going to be amazing. You know, you tell yourself, you tell your friends, you tell everyone it's going to be amazing. And then come month number 13, there's two people who signed up.
Oof. Yeah.
Number one is you, and the other is your girlfriend or your boyfriend.
Yeah.
And like, you've got this amazing app you spent 12 months building.
And the most important thing with that, when you sign up, it's like, when you sign up, fine. When your girlfriend signed up, it's 100% increase.
Remember? Yeah, yeah. So you've got 100% traction.
And you fool the market. You fool the market, you know, because it just shot up by 100%.
Yeah.
You know?
Closing words and the closing information that you gentlemen can leave us with this morning. Or this afternoon, actually.
Yeah, jeez. It is afternoon, yeah, isn't it?
So definitely follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Check out our platform. If you are an independent consultant with highly specialized skills, kindly sign up. We'll give you a call and we will talk you through what we require from you. If you're a client, you're more than welcome to get in touch with us. Our contact details are on our website. It's linkdpro.com.
That's simple. Stello?
Yeah, man. LinkPro is on LinkedIn. We are on LinkedIn. We are
linking everybody.
Yeah, we also on Facebook. We also on Twitter. Yeah, and then, I mean, if you are a consultant and you think that you've definitely have what it takes, please, I'll encourage you to sign up. We've got some fantastic projects where clients are looking for for skills, you know, rather quickly, you know. So and we've got to deliver on those. So you encourage people with specialized experience to come through and register. And then if you are a client and you're listening, it's very, very easy. Go to our platform, sign up as a client, or use our contact page to actually get in touch with us. And this is the most important thing that we're going to market with. It's simple. If you are a client, we'll do your first placement is on us. It's free.
Okay. Yeah, I'm a client.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
See, the thing is, I got this project.
Stop it.
Oh, man. Guys, thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you for having us.
This was so fantastic. I think what you're doing is unbelievable. You know, we don't have that many firsts anymore. To be the first to do anything anywhere is quite an achievement, and what you guys are doing is absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much for coming through, Stello and Eugene from Linked Pro. It's that simple.
Yeah.
There's nothing left to say. All right. Well, on that rather, you know, solemn note, we'll be out of here, man. It's been so much fun. It is 20-something, and we are out of here. Next week, maybe?
Next week, maybe.
Yeah.
Get a girlfriend that will sign up to more than just your dick.
This is CliffCentral.com.